Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.
Today's shiur is entitled, Is Tshuva Essential? And as you see in the material that you prepared, it has to do with whether we need to do Tshuva in order for the Geula, in order for redemption. We are going to use the term Mashiach rather than Geula, because it appears that that is what we are talking about in this Gemara. In other words, in order for Mashiach to come, do we need to do Teshuvah or not? That's the issue that we're dealing with. Now, you saw already that there are two opinions in our Gemara in Sanhedrin. The Gemara begins, as you saw, with two opinions of Rav and Shmuel. And then the Gemara moved and said that Rav and Shmuel, who are Amoraim, are actually arguing about a machlokes, a disagreement that took place several generations earlier between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yehoshua. Rav lined up with Rabbi Eliezer, and Shmuel lined up with Rabbi Yehoshua. You saw that. Now the two opinions, as we have in our Gemara, are, as you saw, that Rabbi Eliezer says that we will not have Geula, Mashiach will not come unless we do Teshuvah. If we don't do Teshuvah, Mashiach doesn't come. It's very simple. It has nothing to do with by a certain date, by a certain time. All that is irrelevant. Either we do Teshuvah or we don't get Mashiach. That's Rabbi Eliezer's opinion. Then we have Rabbi Yehoshua's opinion, who holds that no, even without doing Teshuvah, or I should say even without us initiating Teshuvah, Mashiach will still come. Now we saw in the Gemara that Rabbi Yehoshua says to Rabbi Eliezer, are you telling me that Mashiach will never come? Because maybe we won't do Teshuvah. Chas v'shalom will never happen. So who says Mashiach will ever come? So Rabbi Yehoshua says to Rabbi Eliezer, you're going to tell me Mashiach is never going to come? So Rabbi Yehoshua says to Rabbi Eliezer, Mashiach will have to come. And if Klal Yisrael doesn't do Teshuvah, then Hashem will bring, Chas v'shalom, an enemy who will be very, very frightening, like Haman, who will make some sort of terrible decree. And, as we know, there are no atheists in a foxhole. And once we're faced with that kind of decree, we'll do Teshuvah. So for sure, we're going to do Teshuvah eventually, Mashiach is going to come. So according to the way our Gemara presents the two sides of the argument, everybody agrees that eventually we will do Teshuvah and Mashiach is going to come. The only question is that Rabbi Eliezer says, we have to initiate. If we don't initiate it, God will just wait. He'll just wait. Okay, I'm waiting. It can be 10,000 years, 20,000 years. If you don't do tshuva, it's not going to happen. That's what Rabbi Eliezer says. Rabbi Yehoshua says, no. There is an end time. And yes, we do need to do tshuva, but it doesn't have to come from us. If we don't do tshuva on our own, well, then Hashem will force us to do tshuva. He'll bring this terrible decree against us, chas v'shalom, which will force us into teshuvah. One way or another, it's going to happen. Those are the two opinions. According to Rabbi Yehoshua, the second opinion, that says that no matter what, teshuvah is going to happen, it's going to be forced upon us, and Mashiach will come if we don't do it on our own. What will trigger that Hashem will bring that terrible decree against us? What's going to make that happen? Again, Rabbi Eliezer says, there's no triggers. Either we do Teshuvah or Mashiach doesn't come. Very simple. Rabbi Yehoshua says, no. At a certain point, Hashem is going to say, that's it. I'm going to force the issue. I'm going to bring this terrible decree against Jewish people, which will make them do Teshuvah. And then Mashiach will come. But what triggers that? What makes Hashem bring the terrible gezeira, the terrible decree, to get us to do Teshuvah? Anybody know? It's actually in the Rashi. Anybody see what is going to trigger that we will have to do Teshuvah? What the Hashem is going to bring a terrible decree against us? Anybody? Let's look at the Rashi. Look at the Gemara on the first side of the page, Sarizayin on the base. Rashi says, on the words of Rav, Dai la'avel she'omid be'evlo, it's on the left side. It's enough for the mourner to remain in his mourning, meaning that the mourner is not going to want to remain in his mourning. The mourning meaning the galus, meaning the exile. Rashi says, "Dayo laHakadosh Baruch Hu." It's enough for God, "Sheomed kama yamim," that he stands for many days, "V'yamino achar," and his right hand is held behind him, which is an analogy to the fact that it is not the time of Mashiach. Klomar, that is to say, "In moyasu teshuva," if we don't do teshuva, "Eino omid de'evlo," Hashem is not going to sit in mourning all that time. "Kol hayam," all the days. "Alavade keep v'adavar," there certainly is an end time. Because Hashem is going to say, "I'm not staying in golos, I'm not staying in exile forever. If you're not going to do it yourselves, I'm going to make it happen." Lishna achrina, another way of understanding it, Rashi says, "Dayo va'avel," it's enough for the mourner, which means not that Hashem is in mourning, but "Dayan li'Yisrael," it's enough for the Jews, "Sar golos," the pain of being in exile, "Afilu below teshuva," even without teshuva, "Nigolin," we will be redeemed. So Rashi is telling us that when Rabbi Yoshua says, that's Rav's opinion, but Rav is also Rabbi Yoshua, that's Shmuel's opinion. It's not Rav, it's Shmuel. But Shmuel's opinion is the same as Rabbi Yoshua. So Rashi is telling us that when Rabbi Yoshua says that eventually Hashem is going to say, "It's enough. I'm going to bring the Geula, I'm going to bring Mashiach by having the Jews do Teshuvah, and I'm going to make the Jews do Teshuvah by bringing an evil decree against them." What's the trigger for that? One of two things, Rashi says. Either that Hashem is going to say, "I'm tired of Golus. I'm tired of exile. It's enough." Another way to say that is Hashem is going to say, "It's not because of the Jews that I'm going to bring Mashiach. It's for my sake. It is a Chil Hashem, it is a desecration of God's name as long as we are in exile and we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, we don't have a temple, we don't have a king, we don't have what's supposed to be, the Torah is not being practiced properly. It is a Chil Hashem, it is a desecration of God's name." Hashem is going to say, "I've had enough of this. It's enough of the desecration, enough Chil Hashem. And therefore, I've got to bring Mashiach. That needs the Jews to do Teshuvah, so I'm going to bring an evil decree against the Jews. They'll do Teshuvah, Mashiach will come, and that'll be the end of the Chil Hashem, of the terrible desecration of my name, that I'm here in Golus, in exile, so to speak." That's one way Rashi says it. The other way Rashi says it is that at a certain point, all of the pain and suffering that we have had throughout the thousands of years of exile is going to reach a boiling point. It's going to be so bad that Hashem is going to say, "Okay, that's enough. They've atoned. I don't need them to suffer anymore. It's enough of an atonement." And therefore, Hashem says, "Now I can bring Mashiach, but they got to do teshuvah for me to bring Mashiach. I can't bring Mashiach. So I'm going to do that by bringing this evil decree. The Jews will do teshuvah, and then Mashiach will come." So according to Rabbi Yoshua, the trigger for the evil decree, which will make the Jews do teshuvah, is either Hashem is going to say, "I've had enough. Me, Hashem, has had enough. I don't want to be in Golos anymore. I don't want to be in exile anymore." Or the Jews have had enough. They've suffered enough. It's one of those two things. So again, we have really only two opinions. There are two opinions that about Mashiach coming. One is either we do Teshuvah or Mashiach doesn't come. That's it. No one's going to force us into it. Either it happens or it doesn't. Second opinion is, we, if we don't do it on our own, we'll be forced into it, but that has two possible triggers. Okay, any questions about that? Fine. We now have, though, a slightly... Give me a question?
We saw...
Yeah, we're going to talk about that later. So we have another text in the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi has the same disagreement between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yoshua with one nuanced difference. And as Rabbi Goldberger is pointing out, it's actually mentioned in the Maseres HaShas, in the margin of our Gemara. If you look where we began, on the first side of the page, where we began reading, where the where you have the bracket where we began reading of Amar Rav, if you go down the third line, at the very end of the line, it says, "Ella HaKadosh Baruch Hu." Rabbi Yoshua says to Rabbi Eliezer that if they don't do Teshuvah, Mashiach's not going to come. Rather, Hashem is going to force them into it. But that word Ella, if you look upstairs on the top left side in the Masoret HaShas, under the letter, so the tiny print there, under the letter Gimel, it says Yerushalmi, in the Gemara Yerushalmi Hagirsa, the text is Amar Lei Rabbi Eliezer. This is actually Rabbi Eliezer's response to Rabbi Yoshua. It's not Rabbi Yoshua talking, it is Rabbi Eliezer's response to Rabbi Yoshua. Now if you have that text, then it reads completely differently, and listen to the great difference it makes. Rabbi Eliezer says, they got to do tshuva. If they don't do tshuva, Mashiach's not coming. Says Rabbi Yoshua, are you telling me Mashiach's never going to come? What if they never do tshuva? To which Rabbi Eliezer responds, no. They are going to eventually do tshuva. It's not going to be forever. Because if the Jews don't do tshuva on their own, then Hashem will bring an evil decree, God forbid, against the Jews, which will make them do teshuva. So according to this approach, it's not Rabbi Yoshua who is saying that Hashem will force us into teshuva. It's rather Rabbi Eliezer who's saying Hashem will force us into teshuva. So what? Who cares who says it? Because that means that Rabbi Yoshua, who says that we don't have to do teshuva for Mashiach to come, really holds that Mashiach could come without Teshuvah at all. In other words, Rabbi Eliezer says there's two ways Mashiach could come. We could do Teshuvah on our own, or Hashem can bring an evil decree against us which will make us do Teshuvah, and then Mashiach will come. That's the first two possibilities. Rabbi Yoshua agrees to that, but he adds and he says, no, there's another possibility, and that is we'll never do Teshuvah on our own, and Hashem will not bring an evil decree against us to make us do teshuva, and Mashiach will still come. Even so, even without teshuva. That's what Rabbi Yoshua will say to Rabbi Eliezer. So it will come out that instead of having only two possibilities, as we had before, there now is actually a third possibility. And that is that we never do teshuva, not on our own, and not through being coerced. Either way, Mashiach will still come. Eventually there is an end time. Mashiach comes. What will be that end time? What will be the time that Mashiach will come? Now we enter the Rashi. So Rashi tells us, according to Rabbi Yoshua, what will make Mashiach come if we don't do teshuva and if we're not coerced into doing teshuva? Either Hashem is going to say, I've had enough of the Golus. For me, it's enough. It's a Chil Hashem. It's a desecration of my name. I'm bringing the Geula, I'm bringing Mashiach. Or Hashem is going to say, they've suffered enough. Even though they haven't done teshuva, they've suffered enough. I am bringing Mashiach. So according to the Yerushalmi, now, there are really four ways Mashiach could come. I'm going to go back, I'm going to compare the way the Babli says it and the Yerushalmi says it. But the Yerushalmi says that there's four ways. There is, we could do teshuva on our own. That's, of course, the best. That's number one. Number two is that we can be coerced into doing teshuva. Through a terrible decree, we'll do teshuva. That's number two. Number three, Hashem can say, they haven't done teshuva, they have not been coerced into doing teshuva, but I am tired of this exile, I'm bringing Mashiach. That's three. Or Hashem can say, they haven't done teshuva, they haven't been coerced into doing teshuva, as far as I'm concerned, it could still go on, but they've suffered enough. And for the Jews' sake, I don't want them suffering anymore, so I'm going to bring Mashiach. And according to Rabbi Yoshua, any of those four possibilities could bring Mashiach. According to Rabbi Eliezer, only the first two, not the last two. It has to be that teshuva happens one way or another. The difference between the way the Yerushalmi explains it and the way the Babli explains it is, I'll just say this one more time, if you get confused with this, just focus on the four ways. But just so you understand, that according to the way the Babli said it, the last two ways, that is, that Hashem says, I'm tired of the exile, or that he says, the Jews have suffered enough, they don't stand on their own. Those are the reasons why Hashem will then bring the evil decree to get us to do teshuvah. Those are triggers for Hashem bringing the evil decree, according to the way that Babli understands it. According to the way Yerushalmi understands it, those two stand on their own. They're not triggers for something else. They stand on their own. So again, let's review. Four possibilities. We do teshuva on our own. Hashem brings an evil decree which makes us do teshuva. Rabbi Eliezer says it's got to be one of those two. And then there's two more possibilities which Rabbi Yoshua says are also acceptable, and that is that Hashem says, I'm tired of the Golus, or Hashem says that the Jews have suffered enough. Even without Teshuvah, there's going to be Geula, Mashiach is going to come. Those are your four possibilities. Any questions so far? Okay, no questions, means I assume everybody's following. Okay, wave your hand if you can. I can't see very well, so wave your hand. Yes?
I have a question about, and maybe this is not shy to this conversation, but I have a question about this whole notion of God on the third of the four possibilities of God. I can understand God saying that Jews have had enough, but in what sense can God say, I've had enough? That denotes time, right? I've had enough suggests a spectrum of some continuous time.
Okay, that's a good question. So the question is, if God doesn't live in the world of time, God is not time bound, so then how can there be a time frame for God to say, I've had enough? Right. So it's a good question, and we have to say that he would say that within the context of this world. He would say that since God's name has been desecrated for a span of time in this world, Hashem says, that's enough time, worldly time, for my name to be desecrated. But it's still a good question. I don't pretend to understand that fully. Yeah, another question? No, they are arguing. Rabbi Eliezer says it's got to be, there has to be teshuva, either on our own or we're coerced into it. Rabbi Yoshua says it doesn't have to be teshuva. It could be through Hashem saying it's enough or the Jews have had enough. No, that was the Babel. It wasn't Yoshua. That was the Babel. Any other question? Yeah.
So according to the Babel,
according to the Bavli and the Yerushalmi, Mashiach has to come eventually. Because according to the Yerushalmi, no one holds that the only possibility is that we have to do tshuva or else. No one says that. Because even Rabbi Eliezer agrees that if we don't do tshuva on our own, we'll be forced into it. According to the Bavli, Rabbi Eliezer holds either we do tshuva or it doesn't happen. So according to the Bavli, there is an opinion that says it can go on forever. We just have to do tshuva eventually. Now, that's a good point though, because the Medrash Rabbi Tanhuma in Parshas Bechukosai, and for all those of you who may sometimes look for a Medrash in Parshas Bechukosai, should know that I had trouble finding this Medrash because in the Yafei Einayim, in the back of the Gemara in Sanhedrin, it says, Tanhuma Ches Kuf Saf, which sounds like Chukas, Parsha Gimel, and it tells you to look over there. Parshas Chukas, I couldn't find this Yerushalmi, so I did a search, and it's in Bechukosai, which also has the letters Ches, Kuf, Saf in the Parsha. So all those of you who ever look for something, just be aware, sometimes Chukas and Bechukosai might be confused. At any rate, in Parshas Bechukosai, which makes a lot more sense anyway, in Parshas Bechukosai, the Medrash Rabbi Tanhuma brings the same argument, brings the same disagreement. However, in Parshas Bechukosai, in the Tanhuma, there are actually three opinions. Not two opinions, but three opinions. There is the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer, who says, either we do Teshuvah, or Mashiach doesn't come. There is the opinion of Rabbi Yoshua, who says, no, even without Teshuvah, Mashiach could come. And then there's the opinion of Rabbi Elazar. Don't get confused, there's Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar holds a middle ground. What's the middle ground? If we don't do teshuva on our own, Hashem will coerce us into doing teshuva. So according to the Tanhuma, there's actually three opinions. One opinion is, do teshuva or it's not going to happen. Finished. That's it. That's a very, obviously very stringent opinion. It can go on forever if we don't do teshuva. Then we have a middle opinion, which says that if we don't do tshuva on our own, well, then Mashiach will still come because Hashem will force us into tshuva by bringing an evil decree. Then we have a third opinion, we'll call it the most lenient opinion, and that is that even without tshuva at all, Mashiach can still come, and we'll have to go with Rashi's reasonings, either because Hashem says I've had enough, or he says the Jews have had enough. So there you have the various ways and opinions that Mashiach could come. The Rambam the Rambam, how does he paskin? How does he rule about this? Which opinion does he rule like? Does he rule like the opinion that we have to do teshuvah or else Mashiach will never come? Does he rule the opinion that even if we don't do teshuvah on our own, Hashem will force us into teshuvah? Or does he rule that even without teshuvah at all, that Hashem is just going to say, it's enough, either I've had enough or the Jews have had enough? Which way does he rule? So the Rambam, in Perek Zayin of Teshuvah, Halacha Hey, he writes as follows. Kol HaNaviim Kulan Sivu Ala Teshuvah. All the prophets have commanded about doing Teshuvah. Ve'ein Yisrael Migalin Ela B'Teshuvah. And the Jews will not be redeemed unless we do Teshuvah. So already, the Rambam is rejecting the third opinion. He's saying that there has to be Teshuvah. It's not going to happen without Teshuvah. Okay. But which one of the first two opinions? Does he hold that we have to do it on our own? Or does he hold that if we don't do it on our own, Hashem will force us into Teshuvah? So he writes, "Ukvar hivticha Torah." The Torah has guaranteed shesof Yisrael lasos Teshuvah b'sof kavusan. Then in the end, the Jews will eventually do Teshuvah at the end of the time of the exile. And immediately we will then be redeemed. Shenamar, as the first says, when all these evil things come upon you, you will return to God, and then God will bring you back to Eretz Yisrael, to Yerushalayim, and have the Geula. He will redeem us, and there will be the Mashiach. So the Rambam seems to rule with the middle opinion, and that is that we must do teshuva. Mashiach will not come without teshuva, but it's not a forever kind of thing, because eventually we are guaranteed that we will do teshuva. How can Hashem guarantee we will do teshuva? Hashem doesn't control our free will. So what do you mean? He's guaranteeing we will do teshuva. So the Rambam must hold that what it means is that we will definitely do teshuva, that Hashem will force us into teshuva by bringing the evil decree, and that will get us to do teshuva if we don't decide on our own to do teshuva. So the Rambam seems to rule with the middle opinion. Teshuva has to happen, but if we don't do it on our own, Hashem will make it happen by bringing the evil decree. Any questions?
Are there two classes of teshuva that we're talking about?
Excellent. Okay, great. So Steve is bringing up, are we talking about different types of teshuva? We're going to get to that. That is where we're going. Okay, so hold that thought. It will dovetail a little bit to what we spoke about yesterday. I know not everybody was there. We'll review whatever has to be reviewed, but it's going to tie in with that as well. Any other questions?
Can you give me an example of where the Jews have done teshuvah proactively without something hanging over their head?
Okay, that's a good question. Have the Jews ever done a national teshuvah without something hanging over our head? That's also a good question. We're going to get to that as well. Okay?
Between Hashem sees that our suffering is too much versus I'm going to force them to do tshuva.
I don't understand the question. One is that Hashem is going to force us to do teshuva because the time is up. Whatever the time is.
It's not because of the suffering.
Right.
Okay.
And the other is that because of the suffering, Hashem is going to say, okay, that's it. I've had enough. Okay. Yeah.
So between the time of Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yehoshua said these things, which is probably 80 CE, and now, the Jewish people have never done sufficient teshuvah?
That's correct. And we know that for a fact. If we would have done teshuvah, then Mashiach would have come. That's clear.
That's circular.
The Torah says if we do teshuva that we will then be redeemed. It says that. The question is that required? We know that teshuva will definitely trigger Mashiach. That everybody agrees to. That's clear. The question that the Gemara is dealing with is, what if we don't? So that's where you get into the different opinions. One opinion is, if we don't, and we don't, then Mashiach doesn't come. The other opinion is, if we don't, Hashem will make us do teshuva. And the third opinion is, even if we don't, Hashem is not going to make us do teshuva, He'll bring Mashiach anyway. But everybody agrees that if we do teshuva, Mashiach will come. So if Mashiach has not come, clearly we have not done teshuva.
Teshuva equals what?
What is the definition of teshuva? So we're going to get to that. Okay. Okay? Yeah. Now, the problem is the other Gemara that we read on the other side of the page. And that is that the Gemara tells us a couple of different contradictions. The most famous one is the one we'll use, which is that the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Alexandri, Rabbi Alexandri said, Rabbi Shulvan Levi Rami, Rabbi Shulvan Levi had a contradiction. Ksiv bi'ita, it says in its proper time, Mashiach will come in its proper time. Ksiv, and it says, Achishana, I will hasten it. So, is it going to be in a proper time, or will it be hastened? So he says, Zahu Achishana, if the Jews merit, I will hasten the coming of Mashiach. Lo Zahu, if they don't merit it, bi'ita, then it will be in its proper time. Now, the very statement, in its proper time, sounds like Mashiach has to come at a certain point. And either we merit to make it happen faster, or we don't, and then there's an end time and Mashiach will come. That sounds like the final opinion, the third opinion. That sounds like even without teshuva, Mashiach will still come at a certain point. If we don't merit, which means we don't do teshuva on our own, eventually Mashiach will come on its own. That's what it sounds like. Now you might argue with me and say, well, maybe not. Maybe it's really the middle opinion, that at a certain point Hashem will trigger us doing teshuva. The thing is that in the Medrash Rabbi Tanchuma we mentioned before, where it mentions the three opinions, Rabbi Eliezer says, you got to do teshuva or Mashiach doesn't come. And Rabbi Elazar says, no, if we don't do teshuva, Hashem will force us into teshuva. And Rabbi Yehoshua says, even without teshuva, Mashiach will come. Rabbi Yehoshua's proof is this verse, is this pasuk. Rabbi Yehoshua says, how do I know Mashiach is going to come even without teshuva? Because it says, bi'ita achishana, in its time or hastened, which means there is a time. There's a time when he's for sure going to come, even without teshuva. So this Gemara that we have here seems to be ruling like the last opinion, that Mashiach has to come by a certain point, no matter what, even without teshuva. But as we mentioned, the Rambam tells us, no, that Mashiach is going to come for sure by a certain time, but there has to be teshuva with it. And if we don't do teshuva on our own, Hashem will trigger the teshuva. So here we have a little bit of a problem in reconciling these two Gemaras, which is there an end time without teshuva, or is there an end time by which Hashem will trigger the teshuva?
You said that if we wanted to argue that it could be the middle also.
Yeah.
So it's not just the basis of Rabbi Yeshua, basis of this
topic,
which says that there is a man.
Right.
But that doesn't prove that it's not
going to
be able to prove it.
That's correct. You're right. You're pointing out that Rabbi Yeshua's proof that he says, I get it from here, that it says there's an end time, that doesn't disprove the middle opinion. That only disproves the first opinion that says there is no end time. The very fact that there is an end time doesn't disprove the middle opinion that says that eventually Hashem will trigger teshuva. That's exactly right. And that's what we're going to have to say the Rambam says. That the Rambam will say there is an end time. Yes, there's this possibility of it happening faster. That's if we merit it. And if we don't, that it will happen at a particular time. But the Rambam will say, I don't agree that that means it's without teshuva. I hold that there's a middle ground that Hashem will trigger the teshuva. That's what we're going to have to say. That's right. That's what we're going to have to say. Now, as I said, it was only a little bit of, it's not really a contradiction. It's that's what we're going to have to say in order to make it work out. Okay, fine. So the question was asked before, though, are we talking about different quality teshuvas? See, we have to ask ourselves, everybody agrees, as we mentioned before, if we do teshuva, Mashiach comes. Everybody agrees to that. Everybody agrees that it's possible for an evil decree to get us to do teshuva. Everybody agrees to that as well. And there are those who hold that Mashiach will come even without teshuva. Is there a different quality of, for instance, the redemption? Is the redemption better or worse, depending on whether we do teshuva or not? Depending on whether we were forced into teshuva, or whether we weren't forced into teshuva, we did it on our own. Is the quality of our future affected by this? That's a fair question we have to ask ourselves. Because everybody agrees, I think, that the best thing would be is if we do teshuva. Not I think, I know. That would be the best thing. Do teshuva, Mashiach will come. Everybody agrees that will hasten Mashiach. It'll happen faster. So that would be the best thing. But is that the only difference? Is the only difference how quickly it happens? Or is there a difference even in the quality of the geula, of the redemption? So here, let's talk about quality of teshuva. There's different types of teshuva. I talked about this yesterday a little bit. We'll review a little bit here, but add something very, very important for this Gemara. The Gemara in Yuma discusses the various types of teshuva. The Gemara in Yuma says, there is tshuva me'ahava, tshuva out of love, love for Hashem. We explained yesterday that means that I'm doing teshuva not because I'm suffering, not because I want something, not because there's something that's not so great in my life that I want to change. The reason I'm doing teshuva is because I want a relationship with Hashem. That's it. Hashem created me for a certain purpose. It is to be a shalem, it is to be complete, and that completion creates a connection with Hashem, and that's all I want. All I want is Ahavas Hashem. I just want to love Hashem. I want to have a connection with Hashem. That's it. That's all I want. That's tshuva me'ahava. Then there's tshuva me'ira, tshuva out of fear. That's tshuva out of fear of being punished. I did such terrible averos, such terrible sins, I'm going to get smacked. I'm scared. I don't want to get smacked. So I do tshuva. Included in that is any ulterior motive. My life isn't so great right now. I'm suffering financially, health-wise. I'm lonely. I want to change my circumstance. Well, if I do teshuvah, then hopefully God will smile upon me and change my circumstance because I did teshuvah. So that's why I'm doing teshuvah. That's for an ulterior motive. That's not as good a tshuva as tshuva me'ahava, as tshuva out of love. It's still a tshuva, and it's still a good teshuva, and a person should do teshuva no matter what, even if it is for an ulterior motive. And it's very difficult for a person's motives to be completely pure. But if a person's motives are completely pure, well, that's a higher level of teshuva. The Gemara in Yuma then says there's actually a third level of teshuva. Now, how could there be a third level of teshuva? We had teshuva out of pure love, and then teshuva out of fear of being punished. So how could there be a third level of teshuva? So the Gemara says, you know what the third level of teshuva is? On Pevav in Yuma, the Gemara says, the third level of teshuva is teshuva mitoch yesurin. Teshuva through affliction. Which means, what I said before isn't exactly accurate. They're really the second level of teshuva out of fear can really be broken up into two parts. There's teshuva out of love. I love God. I want to be close to God. I'm doing teshuva. That's the best. Then there's teshuva out of fear. I'm afraid something is going to happen. I don't want that thing to happen. So I do teshuva. That's great. It's not as good as the other one, but it's great. Then there's a third level, which is still good, but it's the lowest level. And that is something already happened. I'm suffering now, and I want to change that suffering, so I do teshuva. Because I want to change what's going on in my life right now. Not that I'm afraid something is going to happen, but something is happening to me now, and I want to change that. That's the lowest level of teshuva. I have to emphasize again, it's still a great teshuva, and it's still a good reason to do teshuva, and everybody should do teshuva if that's the reason, fine. But we have to understand there are different levels. So if I do it because I'm suffering, I want to change my circumstance, that's the lowest level. If I'm doing it because I'm afraid something is going to happen, that's the next level. And if I do it not because of me, of my fear or my suffering, but I do it because I want to connect with Hashem, that's the best level. So now, let's think this through. We just said, everybody agrees, if we do teshuvah, Mashiach comes on our own. Now, why would we do teshuva on our own? I would think that sounds like on our own means there's nothing forcing us into it. We're not suffering. There's no threat to our lives. We're living beautiful, wonderful lives. Everything is great. But we're not close to Hashem. We want to be close to Hashem. Teshuva. There is your best level of teshuva. That will bring Mashiach immediately. If we do that, Mashiach comes. That's it. Then we have the next level. As the Gemara says, if we don't do teshuva, Hashem will bring a terrible decree like Haman, and that will get us to do teshuva. Now, when Haman's decree came out, were the Jews suffering at that moment? No. The Jews were in fear of suffering down the line. We were going to suffer terribly, and we did teshuva. That's the second level. That is teshuva miyira, teshuva out of fear that something is going to happen. The reason why that's a better teshuva than teshuva out of suffering is because it still takes a certain emunah, it takes a certain faith in Hashem, that the thing hasn't happened yet. I'm just afraid it's going to happen, and I do teshuva. Hashem didn't actually have to smack me. All he had to do was raise his hand, and I did teshuva. That's already a certain initiation on my part. And then there is the lowest level, and that is that it's not that we did tshuva on our own. That's tshuva me'ava, out of love. It's not that we did tshuva out of a fear of a decree. That's tshuva me'ira, out of fear. Rather, it's the third opinion. Neither one of those happened, but rather, we've been suffering, and out of the suffering, we want to change our circumstance, we do tshuva. What I'm arguing here is that even the third opinion, although Rashi does not say this in the Gemara, in Sanhedrin, it's possible that even the third opinion agrees that teshuva has to happen. It's just that it's the lowest level of teshuva. That there is teshuva on our own, there is teshuva out of a threat, and then there's teshuva out of suffering. The Jews have suffered enough. Rashi says, the Jews have suffered enough, and therefore Hashem brings the Mashiach without teshuva. But this would say, possibly, the Jews have suffered enough and the suffering brings us to teshuva. That's also a possibility. So at the end, we really end off now, if you put it all together, with five possibilities of which the Rambam picks the middle ground. We have five possibilities. Everybody agrees the first one could happen. We do teshuva, me'av, out of love. Mashiach comes immediately. Then there's teshuva that is triggered by something else. And there's two levels of that. There's teshuva mi'ira, teshuva out of fear of a decree, and then there's teshuva out of suffering that makes us do teshuva. Those are both teshuvas that are triggered. One is better than the other, and that would be a middle ground. The Rambam doesn't say which one he says. He just says the Jews are going to do teshuva eventually. He doesn't say whether it's out of a threat or whether it's out of suffering. He just says the Jews will eventually do teshuva if we don't do it on our own. That could be either one of those. Then there are two other possibilities which the Rambam rejects, which is that Mashiach will come without teshuva at all. And that would be either because Hashem says I've had enough, or because he says the Jews have suffered enough even without teshuva, Mashiach will come. Those are your five possibilities, of which the top three are what the Rambam say could happen. And that would be also explained bi'itah hashena, that either way, if we do it on our own, Mashiach comes faster. If we don't, Mashiach comes at an appointed time. What will make Mashiach come at that appointed time? Some sort of teshuva that is triggered by something else, either fear of a decree or out of suffering. Any questions? And then we're going to end with one last thought. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, we have a Yom Kippur. Is that dealing with the idea of kapara and not necessarily teshuva? Let's say
you're asking Yom Kippur that it gives us kapara, gives us atonement even without teshuva. That opinion.
Even after Yom Kippur, and everyone just has, let's say, a clean slate, but yet they maybe can still not have done teshuva on what needs to be done.
Yeah, you're asking. Rabbi Feldman brought this up yesterday in his Shabbat Shuvah Drasha. There is an opinion in the Gemara that Yom Kippur atones even without teshuva. It's not how we rule. The Rambam rules clearly you have to do teshuva in order for Yom Kippur to work. It does not work on its own. But there is an opinion that says it does work on its own. So you're saying perhaps that's a similar type of idea, that there could be atonement even without teshuva.
Or maybe another aspect or another part we have to be looked into is perhaps, just like we have like the Korban Pesach, is it like a Korban Yachid or Korban Sefer? Are we talking about a teshuva, Klal Yisrael?
This is a Klal Yisrael teshuva. This is not individuals. Individuals have their own din, our own judgment, which we struggle with this time of year, and we have to deal with that. This is talking about a national teshuva. It's not even talking about a community. This is talking about nationally. That's what we're talking about over here. So, just to point out one very, very interesting last twist on this whole discussion. And this thought, I had mentioned this machlokas, this disagreement between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yehoshua. I mentioned it back in the first part of the summer in one of my talks on Shabbos. And at the time, Dr. Bariafi mentioned to me afterwards a very interesting observation, which is worthwhile noting. And you'll see that it causes a little bit of a twist. The Gemara in Shabbos tells us that the Jews were actually coerced into accepting the Torah. Now we know that we weren't fully coerced because we said Na'aseh v'nishma, we said we will do and we will hear. We'll do even if we don't understand, and then we'll try to understand. That's Na'aseh v'nishma. That happened first, and we did that on our own. But then at the time of the giving of the Torah itself, then it says Kaf Alam Har Kigigis. Hashem took the mountain and held it over our heads like a barrel, and He said, either you accept the Torah, and if not, then you'll be buried right here. I'll throw the mountain down on top of you, that'll be the end of you. And forcing us into accepting the Torah. So there was some element of coercion. At a certain level, we did it on our own. At a certain level, there was coercion. The Gemara in Masechah Shabbos says that that is a mudar rabba la raisa. That means there's always an excuse. Then we can always say, well, you know, we didn't really accept the Torah, we were forced into it, and therefore if we don't keep it, okay, you know, we didn't really accept it. But the Gemara says, no. Hadar kiblu habimei Achashverosh. Later on, in the days of Achashverosh, we accepted it on our own, the Gemara says. The Gemara says, because Haman made a decree, and we were saved, and then it says, kimu v'kiblu hayehudin. The Jews establish and accept it, which the Gemara says, that kimu mashikiblu kvar, we established that which we had already accepted. We re-established the Torah, which we had already accepted back in the days of Moshe, that in the days of Mordechai and Esther, we re-established it. We accepted it again, this time on our own. We weren't forced into it. So Dr. Yaffe mentioned that according to what the Gemara is saying over here, it's hard to say that we weren't forced into it. The Gemara is saying that one way that tshuva can happen is that we're forced into it by Hashem bringing an evil decree like Haman, which then forces us to do teshuva. So that is being forced into it. It may not be a mountain over our head, but what's the difference between a mountain over our head and a decree from Haman that says, I'm going to kill all of you, and we do teshuva? The Gemara seems to make a distinction and say that no, that if it comes through a decree like Haman, I'm talking about the Gemara in Shabbos that talks about that now we have no more excuse, we accepted the Torah willingly. It seems like the Gemara is calling that a willing accepting of the Torah. Whereas the Gemara over here in Sanhedrin seems to be saying, no, that's being forced into it. That's actually not so great. So there's a little bit of a contradiction over here. Is it something, when we're forced into it from a decree, an evil decree, is that doing it on our own? Or is that being forced? Like having a mountain over our head. There's a little bit of a problem with this. So, here's a very interesting thing. In Shabbos, in the Gemara in Shabbos, when the Gemara says that the Jews accepted the Torah, this time on our own, not through coercion, Rashi says, Me'avas hanes, from the love of the miracle. Now let's follow this very carefully. Haman had an evil decree. We saw we were going to be killed. The Jews did teshuva. Hashem brought a huge miracle, a hidden miracle, but a miracle nonetheless. And everything got overturned. Haman was destroyed. Mordechai and Esther were catapulted to the top. And everything was great for the Jewish people. Unbelievable. Holiday of Purim. Yom Kippurim, holiday of Purim. Great. That's terrific. Then, says Rashi, that at that point we hadn't yet re-accepted the Torah. The re-acceptance of the Torah came next. Then the Jews turned around and said, wow, what a miracle! God saved us! We love God. We love the Torah. We accept the Torah fully on our own, without coercion. There's two steps in the Purim story. There's the fear, which triggered a national teshuvah, which saved us. Now that teshuvah was not teshuvah me'ahava. That was not teshuvah out of love, because we were forced into it through a fear of what Haman was going to do to us. That's the second level of teshuvah. Not so great. It's great, but not as good as the best. But then, after we were saved, comes this incredible love for Hashem that comes through the unbelievable miracle of having been saved. That is me'ahava, that's out of love. And that was an acceptance of the Torah which surpassed the acceptance of the Torah in the days of Moshe. In the days of Moshe there was some element of coercion, and here there was not. Which means that although the Gemara is saying that the middle ground is that we will be coerced into teshuva, which is what the Rambam rules, that if we don't do it on our own, out of love, then we will have to be forced into it, either through a fear of being punished, or actual suffering, God forbid, and we'll have to do teshuva, and Mashiach will come. But that's not necessarily the end. There can still be another step. Even if we are forced into teshuva, just like in the days of Mordechai and Esther, there can still be another step where we can turn around afterwards and say, wow, God saved us, God redeemed us, we love Hashem, we love His Torah, we accept Him and His Torah fully and completely, and we reject all of our things that we did in the past that rebelled against Him. So that even though at the end there has to be a tshuva, and it may not be out of love, but that's only a first step. There could still be another step after that, which will be out of love. I think it was a beautiful point that Dr. Yaffe made. So we will end with a bracha for this Yom Kippur. As is mentioned, Yom Kippur is coming. It's the best time to do teshuva. It's these days, right now. Today, Tzom Gedalia, onward with the Aseres Yemei Teshuva. This week, until this Shabbos, Yom Kippur, it is the greatest time to do teshuva. It's the easiest time to do teshuva. We must seize the opportunity to do teshuva. We should do teshuva out of whatever reason will get us to do teshuva. We can do it because we're suffering. We want to change our lives. We can do it out of fear. We don't want to suffer, so we want to change our lives. And we can do it out of love of Hashem. Hashem, I want to be connected to you. I don't want to be distant from you. I want to be a person that you are proud of, that you feel is living up to your mission. That's why I want to do teshuva. All the teshuvas are great. We should all do a full and complete teshuva, which of course, as we see, one way or another, it will hasten the Geula, will bring Mashiach b'mehera v'yameinu.
For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. He does not make money off the site, but he does need money in order to run the site. Those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it, so that he can continue that site.